Today I want to speak to you here in the early part of a new year on a great focus for a new year. You would understand, without my saying it, it's good for Christians to focus on the Lord. Focus on Him, focus on His Word, focus on His ways and things He wants us to do in life. Don't you agree we need the Lord's help all the time? Every day that we live, all day, every day, we need the Lord. We owe everything to Him. He's been so good to us. So as we think about new things and a new year and a focus, well, I hope that our minds might not just shut everything off, but like really consider, well, we still have an opportunity to live. We still have an opportunity to try to do something for the Lord. So we're going to read the first seven verses in the book of Revelation, and we want to focus on some new things for this new year, that's for sure. So follow with me, if you will, as we see what the Lord used John to write here. John, writing in chapter 21, begin with verse 1, he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Did you notice there'll be a new heaven, a new earth, a new holy city? Verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Now we're about to read in verse 4. Now not all this has happened yet, but the day will come when God will do what He has planned to do. Verse 4 says, "And God shall," that time will come, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And He that sat upon the throne said, listen to what He said, "Behold, I make all things new." Did you know there's a bright future for the child of God? "I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega." Folks, that's Jesus. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." So that's a good starting point in the message today, to realize that God will take away some bad things, some things that are unpleasant. That time will come, and there will be a newness, as God has decreed that He will do that. He will make things new. So, let me ask you, this is simple, but have you ever had a desire for something new? If you're alive, you probably have. Ever had a desire for something new? Little children often have desires for new things. But may I say very kindly, that same principle carries through whatever age you are today. That's human nature, isn't it? It really is. Sometimes you might want something new because what you have is worn out. You ever been there? Sometimes you might want something new because you're just tired of what you have. Nothing wrong with it. Ever been there? Sometimes you might want something new for no important reason, just because you want something new. Is that true? All right, now that's very simple. And the examples of those things are quite numerous. Just some examples would be somebody might want a new toy, depending on your age, depending on the type of toy. You might want a new car, a new dress, a new suit, a new truck, new house. And do you know, if you don't find yourself wanting a new version of one of those things, then you might be desiring a new version of something else. That's just our human nature, to want something new. And we deal with that all the time. Even if people are happy, that's just our human nature, to want something new. Now, why am I saying all that? Because that ties in with the fact that God does that which is best for us when He does new things in our lives. And so, yes, we can understand that. But let me ask you this. I want to pose this question. If you get something new, same with all of us, if you get something new, does the time eventually come when it loses its newness and then it becomes old. That's the way it goes, right? But there are things that God does that will never pass away. They will never become old. And the most obvious thing is the eternal life that He gives to those who trust Him for salvation. Do you know the Lord today? If you do, that's the most important thing in the world. Oh, we could talk about a new year. We could talk about a new day. And the year is made up of a lot of days. And we don't make it through the year if we don't make it day by day. And hour by hour and minute by minute. And sometimes I say, and I'm very serious about it, and you know it's true, that we owe every breath we draw to our God. That's exactly true. But something new can be refreshing. It can be exciting. And God has allowed us to see the beginning of another new year. There may be people today that are thinking, oh, another day. I don't know if I can be any more miserable today than I was yesterday. I'm not quoting anybody in here, but there may be people thinking that way today. Another day, how am I going to make it through? But it's a whole lot better if you know the Lord and you love the Lord. And even if you have difficulties along the way, you trust that somehow He'll carry you through just like He has so far. That's the way it ought to be. Listen, a new year can be good. And I know I'm talking to a lot of Christians here today. But what if there's somebody in this room that's not? A new year can be good. But to become a new person is even better. Can anybody agree with that? A new year is good, but to be a new person in Christ is better. That's the most important thing. 2 Corinthians 5:17, as God used Paul to write to the Corinthian church, still tells us that if any person is in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. It goes on to tell us that old things are passed away. Behold, how does it say? All things have become new. Now, what does that mean? There might be somebody that doesn't grasp all that. In simple terms, what it means is that you still got the same old body you were born with. It might not be in as good a shape as it used to be. But on the inside, you're different because the Lord has changed you on the inside. So you're not the same. Your inward person has become a new person in Christ. Do you know the book of Revelation, from which we read a little bit, mentioned some things? There are at least seven things mentioned in the book of Revelation that someday will be no more. And what does that mean? It means that conditions will be different and they will be absolutely new when God brings about those changes. You know what things we're talking about? The Bible teaches us in chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation that the time will come when there will be no more sea. That's hard to comprehend, but that one's there. Now listen to this other, the rest of the list. There'll be no more death. Won't that be good? No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. No more curse. And no more night. And a lot of those things in that list are things that give people trouble and stress and maybe heartache day by day. But that time will come. We don't know God's timetable, but that time will come when He'll take His people home and He'll straighten everything out and He will create a new heaven and a new earth. I want to give this quotation to you. Please consider this. Someone wrote this: God's ultimate goal of renewal. If God makes things new, what's the goal of that? What's the purpose? God's ultimate goal of renewal is to become perfectly united with His people as things were in the Garden of Eden. Now, that's not a Bible verse, but you know what I believe? I believe when you look at the Bible information about heaven, we don't know everything, but I believe it's very likely true that the new heaven and new earth, when God puts it all together, will be very similar to how Adam and Eve had the Garden of Eden before sin messed everything up. It will be wonderful, won't it? Paradise to be with the Lord. Heaven to be with the Lord forevermore. Well, as a general rule, we understand people enjoy getting new things. You could think in here, whatever your age is, back to when you were a child, and whether it was Christmas or birthday or just because or whatever, you enjoyed getting something new, didn't you? And I know I could give examples, but some of you could probably beat me. Now, what I mean by that, you could beat me in one way or another on the extremes. You could say, well, I got a whole lot more than that. Or you could say, you got that much? All I got was. But we know how it goes, don't we? We enjoy getting new things. When I was young, it's pretty neat somebody gave me a baseball. You can do your own example, can't you? And so, whatever it may be in life, we enjoy getting new things, whether they're needed or not. And a lot of times we've been so blessed, new things we get are not what we need, they're just things we want, things we like the idea of having. And we can easily think of those things in the material realm. But we should never forget the things that are described in the Bible as new. Listen, when you were born, God allowed a new physical life to come into the lives of your parents. And when you were born again, God changed your life by giving you spiritual life. Have you ever heard, it's a well-used expression, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. It all gets down to you need a spiritual birth. And you miss out on eternal death. You miss out on hell if you know the Lord by being born again spiritually. Listen, throughout history, God was able to make things new. In our time and in the future, He's still able to make things new. Now, I want you to consider with me some other Bible verses, and I'll comment on them as we go. Not in the book of Revelation, but just listen, if you will. The book of Psalms has a verse that says, He's put a new song in my mouth. Now, that's not a depressing verse right there. Listen carefully. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, whatever was true in the life of the psalmist before that time, he said basically some things have changed in my life, and the Lord has put a new song, a song of praise to God in my mouth. You know how to have a song come out of your mouth that praises God is to have the song in your heart. That's not quoting a Bible verse exactly, but I think it makes good sense. If you got joy in your heart, if you got a song in your heart because you know the Lord has saved you and the Lord has done good things for you, then that can even come out when you talk and when you sing. That was good information where he said, the Lord has put a new song in my mouth. And do you know the Lord got the credit for it? There's a limit to what we can do, but there's a whole lot God does for us that we can be grateful for. Also in the book of Psalms, it says, praise ye the Lord. That's like you, praise the Lord. Every one of us should do that. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Now that doesn't use the word church, but what's the most obvious example of a congregation of Christians to us? Isn't it church? And I would submit to you that it's still good and it's acceptable and it's a right thing to do to sing praise to God in his house. And so you don't have to be a pro to do it, but we need to have that song in our mouths and in our hearts because of what God has done for us. Now, when we think of God doing new things, do you know that it was prophesied in the Old Testament that God would make that new heaven and new earth? In the book of Isaiah, he said, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. That's sort of hard for my mind to grasp. But if I read that correctly, I believe the Bible is saying when that time comes and God makes everything new, then we won't even remember how it used to be before. But won't it be wonderful to be with the Lord in a wonderful place? And let me ask you, has the Lord done anything for you that you might call new? He might have blessed you last year, but has he already blessed you this year? Well, I would suggest that the fact that we're able to be here is a blessing. And you could think of other blessings, couldn't you? And we can as the days go by. You know what the book of Lamentations tells us? The book of Lamentations says, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Think about that. We are needy people. We're sinful people. And the only way we're still here, we're not consumed. The only way we're still in existence is because of the Lord's mercies. It says, because his compassions fail not. Do you mean God has compassion on his people? Absolutely. I believe he did in Old Testament days and New Testament days and in our day. And it goes on to say, with respect to the Lord's mercies and compassions, it says they are new. There's the key word. They are new. How often? Do y'all know the verses? See if they sound familiar. They are new every morning. So let's tuck that one away and not forget that, please. God's mercies are evident in our lives. His compassions fail not. And we are wise if we remember that God was compassionate toward us and he was merciful to us all through life, even through yesterday. But he's still compassionate today. And whenever things might go sideways for you a little bit, it's good to remember that God is compassionate. His mercy endures forever. The Bible is very clear on that. His mercy endures forever. His grace is sufficient. His love is everlasting. He cares about His people. That's not just talk to waste time. That's Bible truth, that God cares about His people. That means you and you and you and even me, if we know the Lord. He cares about lost people, of course, too. But those who put their faith in Him are loved by the Lord. Even when we stumble along the way, He will pick us up. He will forgive us, and I'm glad for His mercy. You know what the book of Ezekiel says? We're talking about some new things now. The book of Ezekiel says, a new heart also will I give you. Reminds me of a story I heard a long time ago about someone got a little upset because the preacher or someone said, you got heart trouble. And what he really meant was you got a spiritual need. We can relate to that, can't we? A lot of people have heart trouble in the spiritual realm because they don't yet know the Lord. Ezekiel said, a new heart also will I give you. Let me ask you, do you have a new heart? I'm not talking about that operating room and the heart transplant that the doctors in this old world might try to do for some people. I'm talking about on the inside, spiritually. Do you have a new heart? He said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart. You see, stony heart sounds like a hard heart, doesn't it? I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So the principle there is this. Has the Lord changed your life? Have you let Him come into your life? I'm not talking about have you gone to church in your life, and I see you here today, but has there been a time when you deliberately, decisively said, Lord, forgive me my sins. I want to receive Jesus into my life as my Savior. Or something similar to that. Have you put your faith in Him? If you have, He's put a new heart within you, a new spirit. And the Bible teaches that His Holy Spirit bears witness with our human spirit that we belong to Him if we've been saved. Did you know that's a good assurance of salvation right there? If you know you have your faith in the Lord, the Bible says, I repeat, the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with our human spirit that we belong to Him. Who do you belong to today? Do you belong to yourself, or do you belong to the God who made you and gave you life to start with? We belong to God, don't we? And especially, we belong to Him as His children if we have our faith in Him. Do you remember the story of Nicodemus? I think most of you do. The story of Nicodemus in the New Testament in the book of John. Do you remember that Nicodemus was a ruler among the Jews, very possibly a significant ruler. He was very involved in the Jews' religion, you might say, but he had some questions because Jesus was ministering on earth and he didn't understand everything. And if you look in John chapter 3, there's a valuable discourse between Jesus and Nicodemus. And that's the same chapter, of course, that includes the familiar verse number 16. But if you back up to the early part of the chapter, do you remember what Jesus said? He said, verily, verily, talking to Nicodemus, that's like truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you know the only way any of us is going to see God's kingdom as far as heaven is concerned is because we've been born again. And the Bible teaches we're born again by the word of God. We're not born again by our own efforts. The Bible makes it plain. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace through faith. Aren't you glad to know that's true? I'm glad that's true as well. Yes, reminds me of the song where, God can take, to use the terminology, it's like He can take red blood, wash a black heart, make it white as snow. That's what God can do, right? He can change a dirty life into a clean one. He can take a messed up life and set it straight. And maybe that's what the Lord has done for you. So Jesus said, Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom of God. And in that chapter, He said, you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And if you remember the story, Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, can a man be born of his mother a second time? But Jesus explained it to him. And He said in that chapter, in the early part of John chapter 3, He said, you must be born again. Have you heard this before? Not everything's new. But have you heard this before, that at least on one occasion in life, probably somebody was talking about, you must be born again. You must be born again. And somebody was like, why are you always talking about you must be born again? You know what the answer was? Because you must be born again. And that's very serious. You must be born again to go to heaven. You must have that spiritual birth. And the good news is God wants everybody to be saved, yet some people reject Him. And so I hope there's nobody here that's rejecting the Lord today. I hope everybody here has already put your faith in Him. And if you have, that's a very good thing to know. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that I believe was mentioned earlier, still says, if you're in Christ. Now, what does that mean? That means you have accepted Him. You have put your faith in Him. You have believed on Him as your Savior. Therefore, you are in Christ and not outside of Christ. And it goes on to say what? That if you are in Christ, you are new on the inside. You're a new creation. You're a new creature. And remember again, the old things have passed away. Now, we could go into a lot of examples, and that's not necessary right now. But don't we all know, even if you weren't living what some would call a horrible life before you got saved, that there are a lot of people that can say, well, I used to be like this. I used to go to these kind of places. I used to do this and I used to do that, but the Lord cleaned up my life. Now, haven't we heard or seen things like that? That's what God can do. I think there are a lot of people, to look on the positive side of life, I think there are a lot of people that used to be drunkards that have been sober by the grace of God. I think there are a lot of people that used to have gutter mouths that got their speech cleaned up by the grace of God. You mean, oh, is that narrow-minded preacher? No, I don't think so. I think if people have accepted the Lord, especially if they have an interest in doing right, it's amazing how God can help them clean everything up. You may have physical things to deal with. You may have other issues in life to deal with. But the key is being changed on the inside. So this is a new year. And if you've never been made new on the inside, this is the best time to do it. To be new on the inside. And I hope you'll be patient with me if you're sitting here listening today and you're thinking, well, I hadn't heard anything new here today. That might be exactly right. But it's still important. It's still important. I hope. Now, you could hope that in any church. I hope that nobody would come through these doors, visitor, member, whatever, and hear about the Lord and reject Him for all eternity. Wouldn't that be sad? It really would. Well, you know, we can be new creatures in Christ. And I read to you from Revelation. You know, the book of 2 Peter also talks about how that what we know now will be dissolved. It'll be burned up pretty much. God's going to redo everything. He's going to make it new. And 2 Peter tells us that according to His promise. And by the way, God always keeps His promises. Do you agree with that? He does. He always keeps His promises. We might not know when or how God will do everything, but He'll do it. He'll keep His word. And so Peter said, according to His promise, we do what? We look. In other words, we can anticipate it. We can look forward to it. He said, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, let me ask you, is that the kind of world we live in right now? Is our world, is our country just filled with righteous living? Or is there something else going on? We know the answer, don't we? And it's nothing new. The world has been plagued by sin ever since the first family went into sin in this old world. It's nothing new. But the good news of the Bible is the day will come. And I believe the Bible. I believe just like God has fulfilled other prophecies, He'll fulfill all the other prophecies. And just like He's kept His word on other promises that were made, He'll keep His word on these promises, including the fact that Jesus will come again. And by the way, He could come today. I'm not setting a date. I'm just saying He could. We don't know when He's coming, do we? He could come today. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm serious. You need to be ready. You need to know Him. But wherein dwells righteousness. That thought alone, other than the fact that we know we'll be with God in heaven and be with others that know the Lord in heaven, and He's going to do away with all the bad things. I mean, this goes right along with it. But I say this alone, that to have a new heaven and a new earth filled with righteousness, that will be a wonderful thing, won't it? I believe that will include the fact that there'll be no murders, no crime, no stabbing people in the back, no doing people in, no walking on top of people to advance yourself. And whatever else you can come up with that's bad, the Lord will give us a wonderful environment for all eternity. Well, I've given you a variety of things to consider here today, but I set a great focus for a new year. What is our focus? What is your focus? What is mine? Not everybody has the same thought process on everything in life. God has made us to be basically the same, yet we are individually unique. Not everybody has the same ideas. Not everybody has the same preferences. But we ought to have the same focus in this sense, that we need to focus on the Lord. We know that God has given us physical life. And if we're saved, He's the one that's given to us spiritual life. And so I want to encourage all of us as Christians to approach this new year. It really doesn't matter if it's January or July or December or whatever, we need to love the Lord. But here we are at the beginning of a new year. It's a good time to emphasize this. We need to approach this new year with a renewed dedication to live for the God to whom we really do owe everything. And I'm going to say again, because God knows I don't. But if you have never received God's gift of eternal life, then He can make your life new today. And the Bible says, now, today is the time you need to do that. And if you'll turn from sin to Christ and put your faith in Him, He'll give you that new life. And that new life is the beginning of happiness and blessing. So let me ask you just a few questions and I'll close the message today. A great focus for a new year simply means we need to focus on the Lord. But are you a new person in Christ? Next question, do you know someone else who needs to become a new person in Christ even this year? Are you dedicated to living for Christ this year? A great focus is simply that, to focus on the Lord. Like Jehoshaphat said many years ago, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. Let's stand and bow our heads together for prayer, please.